This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Right, welcome to the Kerry Dixon Show with me, Stamford Chidge, and of course the Chelsea legend, scorer of 193 goals for Chelsea. I can't say I remember every one of them, but that has more to do with what I drank than the fact that Kerry didn't score them. Kerry, how are you, mate? You well?
I'm fine, thanks, Dave.
Great stuff. We were having a little chat, weren't we, before we went on air about what we thought about the Arsenal game. What on earth did you think of what you saw last Saturday?
Well, I mean, I must admit, the start was brilliant. Got off to a great start. When I say brilliant, it's the fact that it's a win against Arsenal. This has all got to be taken into context. I'm not going overboard about our start to the season, which I also think is, inverted commas, brilliant. We can't do anything more than win two games, a derby game at home and Huddersfield away. Started off great, 2-0 up. I'm not going to say cruising because they still have to very good opportunities to score goals, and this is it's not become one of the features. It is one of the features of the two games so far. You know, we Huddersfield hit the post, they had a couple of half chances. Arsenal had some super chances. I'm not talking about the goals they scored to get goals. So you know, there's certainly room for improvement in that department. But three goals at the other end at Huddersfield, and three goals at the other end against Arsenal, so 6-4, you know, you'd think there's that's as good as it gets. But for me, it's still not the finished article. Alvaro Morata got his goal, credit to him and fair play to him. You know, I always say credit where it's due. I think he did okay. You know, as everyone knows, I'm not going to be convinced by one performance. I don't think he's brilliant, but he took his goal well and he did okay in the game. So, okay, and we move on to the next one. Once I get 25 goals a season, I'll start to think otherwise. But at the moment, we're on the way, and credit where it's due. So fair play to him, and good luck to him for the rest of the season. If he can reproduce goal scoring or goal every two games, then great. What do I think of it? Brilliant. Absolutely great result. Eden Hazard, for me, if you want, use the term wax lyrical about him last week. I still think he's world-class on his day. There's going to have to be a time when Sarri gives him more game time. You know, I don't know how long he's going to take to get fit. You know, all this is terminology from the media, etc. Is he fit? Isn't he fit? You know, you've got people at Tottenham saying they feel so much better having played in the World Cup and got to the semis, and they're still playing, you know, the Canes, etc. And you've got other people saying, well, they need the rest, they're not fit, and so on. There's varying ways of looking at it, but as far as I'm concerned, he's still wonderful, and I think he made a difference. And hence the 3-2 scoreline.
Yep. I can't disagree with any of that. I mean, it's interesting. It's kind of, I don't know. Maybe it's just because we've been around the block a bit, but we were saying much the same on the on the show on Monday that it was just completely mental. I mean, it was end to end stuff and exhausting to watch. But whilst, you know, there were spells in that game, particularly the first half an hour, when some of the play, the interchanging play and the attacking play was fantastic. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. You know, it's only two games in. Sarri himself has been very quick to say, look, it's going to take a few months for them to really get what I'm up to. And he actually admitted himself that they kind of, you know, backed off a bit after that. And that's kind of what let us not in. But, you know, I mean, I think the interesting thing, Kerry, is that there was a general perception when we all left the ground of that that was actually quite fun watching that. And we haven't seen that for a while. And that was actually quite pleasing. But do you think this is going to be the pattern for this season, or will it mellow out a bit over the season?
I don't know whether to say I hope not or I hope so.
Fair enough.
You know, from a professional aspect or point of view, you'd say I hope not. You know, 3-2s are wonderful for the fans. And from that perspective, I hope so. It's wonderful for the neutral, great for people to watch, goals both ends, chances, not for the faint-hearted. But I don't know. I think it's got to improve. As I say, we've got to tighten up at the back. And, you know, I can't say we've got to score more, but we've got to remain as clinical in terms of creating chances and taking the chances at the other end. But certainly we've got to tighten up a little bit at the back. We can't give away the chances we're going to give away. Certainly, you know, in Europe, I mean, I don't know what the outlook of the manager is. I mean, I'm assuming we're in every trophy to win it. So, you know, we're gonna play important games domestically and in Europe. You know, and we can't be giving teams the opportunity to score goals that we are at the moment.
Yeah.
But I'm not advocating, by the way, change the team. No. I still have faith in Luis and Rudiger. I think they're, you know, until I see something different, I still think that they're just about the best in central defence. And the other two, we know what they are, as Azpilicueta and Alonso. I wouldn't change them either. So I would say, let the partnership mature. Let's give it a go. And meanwhile, let's hope we can continue to pick up the points.
Yeah.
Effectively, at this stage of the season, Dave, it's about staying at the top, staying in and around the pack before we get to after Christmas and the race really starts. I mean, City were away and gone last season, not for catching. We've got to be amongst the pack this time.
I'm kind of glad to hear you're advocating patience. I quite agree with that. And I think, actually, more pertinently to Marcus Alonso, who, you know, in my view, was arguably man of the match on Saturday. I mean, he had a wonderful assist when he bombed down the left wing and crossed for Pedro. And I thought he put that winner away. I mean, actually, we were joking about it on Monday that, you know, he looked like the striker and not Giroud, who was on at the time. And the way he kind of got in there, nicked it and put it away beautifully shows what value he has to the team. But there's a lot of chatter out there moaning about what they perceive as his defensive inadequacies. But I think you're right. I mean, you know, I know footballers should know how to play every single system that's put in front of them, but it will take time for them to adjust. And I also think that some of the players ahead of him need to be better at covering him when he does bomb forward.
Yeah, he's going to have a problem with that. We touched on it a little bit last week. You know, certainly when we said Hazard, if he's going to be, you know, pressing with a high line, I don't, you know, how defensively we're going to do things on the left-hand side, and you've got Alonso likes to push forward. Certainly he'll be in behind Hazard, if indeed that is the press forward in a high line, and whoever is chosen on that left side of midfield at the moment, Ross Barkley there. But it is a little bit of a problem. But I'm not going to say that is our area of a problem. I think it is a collective thing. I've got no problem with Alonso at all. I personally think he's excellent. I like him. You know, I'd rather see fullbacks getting forward. Obviously, first and foremost, you've got to defend, and this is what, you know, if you're a defender, what's on your CV, I say about strikers, so it's got to be the same the other way. If you're a defender, you've got to defend. But there is more to the modern game than just defending. Like, you know, you look at a goalkeeper, the way they're being asked to do different things, certainly with their feet. There is more to different positions these days than what's expected in the modern world. The old players, and you know, I can go both ways with this one. I can side with the old boys and side with the more modern day player. Is that, you know, you have to be able to adapt in modern world, and you know you've got to be able to play your position rather than be a master of one than a jack of all trades, if you like. I think Alonso is somewhere in between the two. I don't think he's a master of all, but he's not an Ashley Cole. But I think he's great down the left-hand side. Yeah. And, you know, there'll be plenty of people in various football teams up and down the country who would absolutely love Marcus Alonso and the way he's been playing for us since he's come into the team. And, you know, I'm certainly not one of those that's advocating a change in position there. Mm.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm quite a fan of Marcus Alonso, not least because he's got great hair. But there we go. So I'm just showing my age here because he's got a very 80s haircut. But you mentioned another Spaniard earlier on, and that was, of course, Alvaro Morata. And you've been critical's perhaps too strong a word, yeah. but you know, I think that, you know, one of the things we talked about last week really was, you know, look, he's paid to score goals. There's no doubt about that. But there's also that issue about his mentality and, you know, is he physically up for the challenge of the Premier League? But I thought he scored a very, very good goal. I mean, that was a proper striker's goal in my book. Put it away very well. But I just kind of wonder what that... I mean, you know, you're a striker and I bet you've been, you know, you went through a few gluts, you know, or famines, as it were, in goal scoring. So, you know, what will that do for his confidence, do you think? Especially as it's the first home game of the season.
Well, I think he knew that he needed to, you know, step up a little bit as far as that's concerned. I mean, as a striker, you're there to score goals. He knew that. The second half of last season, I think he won him, I don't know, 14, 15. I'm not quite sure the exact stats, but you know, he had on this season's games and so on. And he hasn't, he didn't do very well since he came back off of an injury. Mm. I'm not making that as an excuse. I never have done. I think he needs to do more. One goal doesn't make him the ideal centre forward and doesn't make him perfect or anywhere near perfect in my book either. And critical, I'm quite happy to stand up and you know, and say what I feel and stand by what I've said. And I'm willing, and I also stand by the right to change my mind if indeed he forces me to change my mind, but needs to do more. But he had a 7 from 8 out of 10 game as far as I'm concerned. And he scored his goal, tucked it away very well, outpaced a very ponderous, I must say, Arsenal central defensive yeah. duo. You know, he's not the quickest, unless something's deceiving me. But he doesn't look the quickest, but he still managed to get away from them two. Mm. So that doesn't vouch too well for... And while we're on it, I would absolutely have loved... It's what, you know, rather than we do a debate on talking, I'll come back to Morata if you just remind me when I'll finish my rant, because if you take me on to something else I've been talking to people about... this high line and pushing up against it, I said about Eden Hazard and people adapting to how things work, I would have absolutely loved, and I think Manchester City, when I saw their particular game and the Aguero goal and some other chances, this idea about how everyone's going to adapt, and because of the Guardiola situation, everyone adapts to pressing all the European coaching high line, press from the front, squeeze up at the back. If you are slow at the back, I would absolutely have loved this yeah. high line when team being pressed. Anyone who could hit a pass, a Mickey Hazard or someone, I say, you know, with England, you've got a Glenn Hoddle, or anyone who could hit a decent pass, and we've got David Luiz and people like that, over the top, the likes of Michel, who was relatively quick, and against defences who are high line, everyone's being asked to press and the defences to step up and leave space in behind. I would say, whether I'm 3 yards, 4 yards, or 5 yards in front of some, put the ball in behind and I'll get there and there'll be loads of chances. I couldn't wait. It's 30 goals a season for strikers with a bit of pace in this system if teams are going to try and adapt and don't do it correctly. Mm-hmm. But that's for another day. Morata, 7-8 out of 10. Keep it going and try and change an old centre-forward's mind about you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I think the main thing really for Morata is that, you know, whilst the jury may still be out on him, you know, if he's scoring goals, it can't be bad for his confidence. I think we said it last week. I definitely think he's a confidence player, and he's the kind of player you need to put an arm around and make him feel good. So hopefully this will help. And as it happens, I remember you scoring quite a few goals like that you know, you had pace in your day, and you were obviously very strong, and you would get on, you know, you would get on the end of those. But I think Man United springs to mind, but I know you scored a few goals like that. So you know what you're talking about, mate, that's for sure. Listen, the last thing really I just want to pick up on from last weekend really is Hazard. You mentioned a minute ago that, you know, he had another really good cameo, came on. Looked very good, I thought, and of course helped win us the game by putting that ball across for Alonso. You know, we'll talk in a minute when we talk about the Newcastle game as to whether it'll start or not, but I thought the other issue that's been kicking around all week is that Real Madrid still don't seem to have gone away. And there was kind of talk about, well, he might stay if we get into the Champions League next season. What do we have to do to keep him, Kerry?
We keep him. Simple as that. Resist all offers. Everyone has their price, mind you. But then does he? Does Eden Hazard have a price to Chelsea Football Club, and what is that price? And people would argue, I would certainly argue, keep him for this season. He's an absolute necessity. Whatever Sarri might think, he might think he can do without him, we can replace him and so on. Every manager has a different idea, and people will argue that everyone is irreplaceable, which, you know, Real Madrid themselves, Cristiano Ronaldo, you know, so everyone is replaceable, but at the right price, at the right time. This is not, for me, the right time for Chelsea Football Club to be selling Eden Hazard. He's our best player. And if he goes, I seriously think we could become average. Mm. I've said it before, and I think he is the difference. And the more I watch Chelsea Football Club and the more I watch the team play, you know, Eden Hazard, he's only played a couple of substitute appearances, but, you know, I've thought it for quite a while now. And, you know, he's very much the same. The team is not the same with him not in it. Mm. But there comes a time where you have to start. Away at Newcastle, the club, or people should come clean. Is he fit or isn't he fit? You know, he needs game time. He needs to get up to scratch. I hear all the comments. And, you know, is he doing the same training as everyone else? Is he doing extra training? What is he doing? Is he fit? Because if he's fit, he should be in the team. It's as simple as that. He's our best player.
Mm. Totally agree with that. I think the other thing, Marco Worrell put something very interesting on Twitter this week about that. I mean, I think it's highly unlikely that, you know, that he will go, like now, because obviously the European transfer window still open to the end of the month, because, you know, Chelsea just wouldn't be able to replace him, and that would be stupid. But I think there's talk about January, maybe next summer. And Marco was saying that, you know, really what we need to be doing now is, you know, getting him to put pen to a paper for a 5-year deal, offer him the $300,000 a week that's been talked about, but also, you know, slap a £200 million buyout clause on him to try and put Madrid off. There's another thing that's occurred to me, which kind of works in conjunction with all of this, because, you know, Sarri's not officially named a captain yet. I mean, he chose Azpilicueta for the game against Arsenal. But he says he remains, you know, undecided who he wants as captain. I'm just wondering whether it might be worth offering Hazard the captaincy. And the reason I say that is that, you know, in the past for Chelsea, if you could level any criticism at him, it's sometimes that he did go missing in a few games, and he didn't quite, you know, pick the game up by the scruff of the neck as great players do. But what I saw when he was the captain for Belgium, I really saw a very different kind of Hazard, and he really took on the leadership role very well. And, I mean, there were times in the World Cup when he was kind of dragging Belgium along with him, and they're a very good team with a lot of mavericks in the side. So I think he could do a good job. He's our best player. He can lead by example. We know he can do it, and it might just persuade him to stay. I mean, what do you think about that?
I think it sounds a very good idea, Dave. I think if you were to put it on him to say, lead by example on one of these missing days, because you're right, he does have them and he has had them. Mm. And that's the thing that stopped him being a Messi or a Ronaldo. His consistency, he's capable of doing it, just doesn't do it often enough. Mm. I'm not going to disagree with it. I think it's a bit of a slap for Azpilicueta, but he's a pro. I mean, he would understand, you know, people move captains around and have different ideas about things. As I always thought, that doesn't really matter who's the captain. It didn't really matter to me. I'd still do what I needed to do and concentrate on my game. Didn't need the captain. He's not going to change your game. If you're having a mayor, you're the only one that's going to change it. Sometimes, come on, a little bit of a G up sometimes helps, and, you know, from on the field from someone else. But, you know, a public rollicking doesn't usually help anyone. Azpilicueta never sort of was that type anyway. And, you know, I don't think Eden Hazard is either. I don't think there's too many John Terrys around when I think about it. And that's the sort of type you're talking about as a natural captain. Yeah, I'm not against it. And if it does pull out a little bit more from Eden Hazard then, and keeps him at the club and, you know, helps him to sign that new contract, which I also agree with, then great.
Excellent stuff. All right. Well, I'm glad to hear that you're agreeing with me on that. That's it's been a bit of a thing for the really since the World Cup when I saw him do it there.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Chidge.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft. Inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great. But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Jidge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box.
Right, we should look at the Newcastle game that's coming up on Sunday. A bit of a bogey game for us recently. We've not actually won there since we won 3-0 in December 2011, and we lost 3-0 last May. We drew 2-2 with them in September 2015, lost 2-1 in December 2014, 2-0 November 2013, and lost 3-2 in February 2013. And given that, you know, that this is a side that hardly, you know, threatens to challenge the top 10, that's a pretty poor record against a side like Newcastle. Hopefully we can rectify it on Sunday.
Yeah, and, you know, 3 goals conceded in quite a few of them games.
Yeah.
You know, what we just said at the start of the programme, goals conceding, you know, Newcastle fancy themselves to turn us over again with that sort of run behind them. But having said that, it's one of them games that we need to pick up points. We've had a good start in 2 games, but it'd be a very good start in 3 games, especially 2 of them away from home. We need to take the 3 points, and we're going to keep pace with the Citys and whoever else is going to be up there. We need to keep pace, and it is going to be important. So team selection will be important as well. Sarri will understand all this thing. You can't afford to drop silly points and give away silly points. You know, going on to the Premier League just for a little minute, Jose Mourinho might well find that out to his cost. He's found that out before when he dropped too far behind. Silly points getting dropped and so on. Right in the way for them was a poor result. And, you know, Chelsea have had them in the past. Certainly last season we've had some very iffy results when we go back to, you know, some of our actual performances and loss of 3 points or even 2 points in that matter. You can't afford it. So Newcastle is a must-win situation for us. But got to be wary. You said a team that won't finish in the top 10 or not entitled to or shouldn't do. They're a dangerous side at home. They're a dangerous club at home. And, you know, history says that. And we've got to be on the job, as they say.
Well, as always, I think we said this a lot last year, didn't we? You know, quite often the difference is that attitude, being absolutely on it from the front. And I think actually what was pleasing particularly about last Saturday against Arsenal was the fact that we were watching a Chelsea side that were on the front foot from the word go. and they were all over Arsenal like a cheap suit for that first 30 minutes. But that I like. And I saw too many games last season where it took us a half to get into the game and it was just too slow. So hopefully we'll be on them and that will give them a bit of a shock. Of course, my worry is with Newcastle, Kerry, always, is that they can be absolutely awful all season and then the minute we turn up and play them, they play like Barcelona or Real Madrid or Brazil even. So they're a funny old side. Of course, added spice, as always, with Rafa as their manager. In a sense, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but one has an element of sympathy for him, really, because with Mike Ashley in charge and not prepared to spend any money there, he's shown an incredible loyalty to that club, considering, you know, whether one likes him or not, he is considered to be one of the best managers in football. Are you surprised the fact he's stuck around?
No. I think Newcastle, let's not sell them short in terms of what they are. They are a team that could be with the right owners. I mean, if the club was sold and he was kept as manager, Newcastle Football Club, with a bit of money behind it and 50,000 support every week, they've got great support. And they are one of the big clubs in the north. And one of them clubs that are, you call sleeping giants, Kevin Keegan aroused it in his time, I remember.
Yeah.
And, you know, the passion come and Newcastle challenging at the top of the Premier League. They got fans following everywhere. No, they're one of the clubs that could. And I'm not surprised, you know, without being disrespectful to some of the clubs in the Premier League, you play in front of 50,000 fans every week. You know, you've got a wonderful away support, which is, you know, a credit to them. I'm certainly, and you know, he's got his salary. Where else would he go, Rafa? He ain't going to go to United. He ain't going to go to City. He's certainly not coming to Chelsea again. He's not going to Liverpool. Where else would he go? Mm. He's not going to Tottenham and he's not going to Arsenal. So he's going back abroad and to do what? I mean, if he's at Newcastle, he's got as good a chance. And, you know, you say, I'm not surprised he's stuck around. No, I'm not. Mm. I think he's in a very good job. I'm not a fan, as you know, but you know,
me neither.
Again, a credit where it's due. He's done all right for them, but I wouldn't say he's pulled up any trees. They might say so up there, but you know, he's kept Newcastle in the Premier League. But no disrespect to anyone, I think any half decent manager would be able to do that. They're not a bottom side. You said a side that could challenge in the top 10, or in and around the top 10, or shouldn't be in the top 10, but alluded to the fact that that's the area where they are. Well, that is the area where they are. And I think any decent manager worth his wages would keep them in that position. You know, and I'm not surprised he stuck around. So I'm afraid no sympathy there.
No, fair enough. Said it like it is. Obviously, just looking at the game itself, it's Aspilicueta's 200th game for Chelsea. At the moment, he's got the armband, as we were talking about a minute ago. He's been quite a loyal servant to Chelsea, hasn't he? I'm a big fan of Aspilicueta. You always know what you're going to get with him. Very consistent. So I'm delighted to see him make 200 games for the club.
Yeah, credit there. 200 games is great for the club and good loyalty. And it's interesting, he followed a line of, you used the word loyalty and consistent for him. But the two previous holders of that right back position or whatever position you want to call it also showed immense loyalty. It seems to be a position when I start to go back through when you think of Branislav Ivanovic, you think Paolo Ferreira, I'll go back to Steve Clarke, I then go Ron Harris. You know, people who are playing at right back seem to be incredibly loyal and consistent.
Well, there you go. They're obviously not like... I'm not saying that you're not loyal, Kerry, because you did, 10 years for the club. But obviously, the number twos have a slightly different attitude than the number nine, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah,
karma personalities. That's what I'm alluding to, not anything else. But he's got a long way to go until he matches the length of service that you did for the club, that's for sure. But a lovely chap, I think, that's for sure. Right, let's have a look at the team very quickly. I mean, I think you were saying you would obviously like Hazard to start, as I think anybody would if he is fit, and we don't quite know what the situation is with that. I'm presuming that Sarri is going to pick the same team. I think the only question for me really is whether he starts Kovacic instead of Barkley. I thought Kovacic looked superb when he came on last week. What a player we've got on loan for a year.
Well, once again, Dave, you know, let's just see what happens. He's got to fit in.
It's only one game, I know. It's only one game.
One substitute performance. I'm not going to dive in on that one. I mean, he's had a wonderful summer. Let's just wait and see. I don't think Barkley's done a lot wrong. He hasn't set the world alight. But the team's won two games. He's entitled to think that he should be back in.
Yeah.
You know, people making changes. You know, it used to be a situation where the team's winning, and if it's not wrong, if it's not broke, don't fix it. I think, like you said in the first place, I think you'll go with the same team. But there's nothing wrong to say that if you think something's not right in a side that's winning, you shouldn't change a winning side, because, you know, some say don't and some say do. I'm a believer in if it's not broke, don't fix it. But if something obviously isn't quite working within and it's getting by, and you are a top manager, then do change it. But at the moment, I think it's a case of Barkley still doing enough just to maintain his position. The rest of it will pick itself. But Eden Hazard, for me, should play if fit, which would take out one of the front three, which would also be a bit unfair on them if you're applying that rule to the Barkley situation. So it's one thing to think about. Not quite sure what to do, but if I was asked to guess at it, I think he'd go in the same team as one of the first two games to start.
It'd be interesting. I mean, I like Barkley, don't get me wrong. I bigged him up last week and I thought he looked very good before he came off. I do think that Kovacic kind of, you know, added, it just looked a bit more solid. You know, I think, you know, he's a bit more disciplined tactically in covering people, and that was impressive. But I don't think we lost anything really going up front. I mean, he made some very, you know, good attacking runs, put some great passes in, and was quite involved with Hazard a lot. And I get it, it's only one game, but I was really quite impressed with what I saw. So if he did choose Kovacic over Barkley, I wouldn't have a problem with that. But yeah, I like Barkley, I think he's made a good start. He looks hungry, doesn't he, Kerry? That's the thing.
I think he wants to do well. I mean, he's had a long period out with injury, and you know, he's come to a new club, hasn't really had the opportunity to shine. He would feel a bit aggrieved if he is left out. But having said that, he'll also be aware that, you know, he just needs to step up a little bit more again. I think with more is required. You know, we said about last week about Loftus-Cheek wanting, you know, in contention for the position, but the man in possession is invariably the one that will keep the shirt if indeed the team wins, and performances, I'm not going to say adequate, suffice, if you like. And I think Barkley is in that position. So you've got to get the shirt first and foremost, and he is just in possession. I think he'll keep it. I want him to succeed, but I fully understand the Kovacic and indeed the Loftus-Cheek positions, and there is a challenge in there.
All right, we need to nail our colours to the mast. I'll be honest with you, Kerry, I thought Newcastle looked very poor against Cardiff. Is it Cardiff they played last week? I think it was, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, I thought they looked pretty poor. And you know, if Cardiff aren't favourites to go straight back down, then I'm going to give up betting. So, you know, I thought they looked poor against Cardiff. So I think we're going to win, and I think we'll win well. So I'm going for 3-0.
Goodness me, I think 2-1 us. I can't get away from the fact that we're leaking some goals, so there's always going to be a one at the moment, at least, in whichever game. And I think, yeah, I think, you know, wherever the Hazard factor is, whether it's on from the start or whether it's from the bench, I think it will be enough. I haven't got a Hazard, and he's a match winner, and it'll be enough to tip the balance in our favour. So 2-1 us.
All right, fair enough. I admire your caution. I just can't see where Newcastle are going to score their goals from. You know, that's really why I'm saying 3-0. And I think
Chelsea's defence at the moment.
Well, that's true, but I mean, you know, they were pretty lacklustre against Cardiff, as I said. So, and of course, they've lost their best player. Or have they? Well, no, actually, that's a good point, because Kennedy, he didn't get banned, did he? I'm trying to remember, because he should have been sent off for kicking out of that player, but he didn't actually. The ref said they saw it, so I think Kennedy will be playing. So their best player is an ex-Chelsea player, obviously. So maybe he'll be the threat, unless he takes a penalty, because that was bloody awful as well. But there you go. Look, we will soon find out. We'll know all about this come Sunday evening. But fingers crossed that we can keep the good start going and see more attacking football with lots of goals. It'd be great to see, wouldn't it?
Yeah, certainly would. You know, not so many hairy moments at the back. A little bit I'm not going to say a little bit more, because three goals, you know, I'm not looking for 5 goals, but let's say more of the same up front, and, you know, we'll be getting somewhere near what perhaps Sarri wants and what all the fans want.
Absolutely. Now, before I let you go, have you got any Kerry-related events coming up in the, you know, the near future?
No, I'm doing, well, I say no. I've got a couple of gigs with David Speedy, would you believe?
Have you now?
Yeah, getting together for a couple of events, one down in Southend and one down in near Staines, Spelthorne area, in and around October. So myself and David will be getting together and reliving one or two memories and a few tales from the past in them. But, you know, it's a couple of months away yet.
Yeah, all right.
Nothing in the immediate future.
Okay, well,
thanks for asking anyway.
That's all right. Well, keep me posted about that. How is Speedo these days? Has he calmed down a bit?
Yeah, I think he's down to 100 mile an hour at the moment. he's doing fine.
Good stuff. Well, send him my best when you see him. But obviously, as I said, keep us posted on those and we'll give him a good shout out on the show. Kerry, as always, it's been great fun talking to you. Have fun on Sunday watching the game. I know I will. And you and I will reconvene next week.
Perfect, Dave.
Lovely stuff. As always, mate, thanks a lot. And you and I will talk next week. Look forward to it.
Thanks, mate.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mate's already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect! Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.